Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Carolyn, who is here to speak with us about her experience of using a recording and listening tool that we recently got to explore in a Sunday workshop. Welcome, Carolyn.
Thanks, Jen. It's good to be here. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. So as we begin to hear your experience of using the tool, I wonder if you might start off just kind of with the basics of what the tool is so that people have that context. And, of course, we'll fill that out a little more as we talk about it, but just kind of the basic premise behind it.
Yeah. Well, my recollection is that we were given an exercise to do something that we get told we don't like doing. And to record while doing it, to see if that's really so, and to see what our experience is, and then, you know, how we might be of assistance to that person who's struggling with this for whatever reason. And then to use that recording and do the task again with all of that support.
I love it. The example that I always think of with it, Carolyn, and I think this was talked about in the workshop, is because this is from my own experience, flossing my teeth. Right? And so I'm making the recording for Jen, right, who the voices are going to say, like, oh, God, you know, I'm tired or whatever. So then I'm flossing my teeth as I'm making the recording for her, where I'm talking to her and she can hear that I'm flossing my teeth, you know.
Yes.
So then the two of us are there together flossing our teeth. So that's such a perfect example of it. So.
Well, it is perfect. The title of it was We Are Never Truly Alone.
Yeah.
And at least that's my recollection of what the workshop title was.
Yeah.
And so it's just that, and that's so true. And we get to choose who we're in company with.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, because there's going to be somebody there.
Someone's going to be talking to us. That is for sure.
That's a given. Yeah. Our experience has proven, you know, has shown us over and over again, there's going to be somebody talking, and we have a choice who that's going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
And and it's, we have these built-in best friend, playmate, mentor, whatever word speaks to you, whatever best describes for you who that is, and you know, that's who you get to make that Hafiz poem, The Love Mischief, with.
Yeah. And so tell us how you explored it. How did you work?
Well, what dropped in was after we had done that, after the workshop, it occurred to me, you mean what did I use?
Either way, yeah.
Oh, both, okay.
Yeah.
Well, what did that
let me just underline, because what I think essentially you're saying is that workshop introduced us to the tip of the iceberg of how the tool can be used, and then fabulous for people who have gone on and found all these other ways. So,
yes.
Whichever one strikes you in the moment.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It was, my best friend, that's who I think of as, you know, my mentors, my very best friend, said, well, you know, That was so much fun. We had so much fun doing that. What if we did it with something that we like doing?
I mean, if we could have that much fun with something we won't resist, think the fun we could have with something we enjoy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, and Jen, it was so perfect because my, the karma is to ration out the fun. Well, there's only so much fun to go around, and you don't want to use it up all at once, so you can have a little bit of fun here, but then you have to be serious, and you have to work, and you have to, but oh my gosh, it was such a liberating, just expansive experience of here's someone who wants to be with me all the time. And as the practitioner, what I saw was I have a tendency, there was a kind of a karmic tendency to only call on my best friend when I was having a bad time. You know, like, oh, you know, yeah, I'm really struggling here. Okay, I got to pick up the recorder because I got to save, you know, whatever. But I wasn't hanging out with my best friend when I was being told, well, you're having a good, everything, you're okay right now. You don't need anybody else.
Right.
And oh my God. So I wasn't inviting life to be with me. Yeah. For yeah. everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because I was listening, right? We already said someone's going to be talking to us. I was listening to someone tell me that you're okay when you're happy.
Right.
But Jen, when I'm happy is when it starts talking to me.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Very quietly, very subtly.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
going to start turning that little shift towards suffering. Yeah.
Yep. And yeah. And then, you know, I had a reflective listening buddy call, and I was able to even explore it further. It was like it just nibbles at the edges.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost out of my peripheral vision, and I can get talked into, right in front of you is happy. But at the same time, it's nibbling away.
Yeah.
And before
and so
I know it,
this tool, yeah. the press is a support, it sounds like, for realizing the awareness stays expanded. I realize conditioning is attempting to do that. As
yes.
long as I realize that, this can be an assistance to stay present. Even when
absolutely.
I'm happy. Go figure.
And I heard some things I'd never heard before. I heard some of the ways it hooks me. That
wow.
because I was, quote, happy, I could uh-huh. not pay attention to.
Yeah.
And that was brilliant. So,
that is brilliant.
Yeah. And it can just be a rolling of the eyes even.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And so to be looking at that and, you know, talking about how we're having fun and what we're doing. And at the same time here, you know, here when I listen back in recording saying, oh, and I'm hearing a voice telling me that, you know, if you can't be happy now, you can't be happy ever.
Yeah.
And then I'm not unhappy. So just things like that.
Oh, my gosh. And so, Carolyn, when you're... I mean, without kind of, you know, needing to give away any of the content of your particular recording, when you're there, either side of it, right, there's something that there's resistance to, like, you know, I don't want to wash my face, I don't want to, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
or there's something you absolutely love doing, how have you found, you know, for folks who may not kind of see it, how have you done the recordings? What kinds of things have you put on there?
Oh, what I look at is, okay, now I want to I want to sit down and I want to paint.
Okay.
And, you know, I love painting. And so I'll sit down and I'll say this, you know, my intention for this session is to bring as much awareness as I can to painting with a lightness and ease without worrying about an outcome and just, you know, even checking in with the posture because I can lose track of my body and come to in a kind of a contorted way,
yeah.
you know, and so to maintain that ease and that lightness
yeah.
in the body and in the spirit,
yeah. Yeah.
then I don't have to worry about painting. Do you know what I mean? It's like
I do. Yeah.
The painting mm-hmm. happens,
mm-hmm.
and I get to listen to the mentor, my best friend, talking about what she sees.
yes. So the two of you are painting together.
Yes,
literally. I love it because you have the experience of making the recording, right? And all
yes.
those things, like, oh, right,
yes.
I want to bring attention to the. the posture, you know, my body, to taking care of, you know, the whole being as I'm doing this, and I'm, here's how I feel about it, here's my intention for the thing. And then when you get to go listen to it, it truly is, like you were saying before, it truly is the two of us here thinking together.
Yes.
Hey, let me look, oh, that's beautiful. I love what you're doing over there.
Yes.
And there's literally a conversation that's a life conversation, a presence conversation, instead of the
yes.
conditioned conversation.
Yes, and sometimes you reach a place in a painting or a composition or you're working on something, and there doesn't, it's like you get stuck. And so you can do a two-handed recording. You know, I'm feeling kind of stuck here. This isn't working for me. I'm not quite sure what the next step is. And then, you know, I listen to that, and she's always got something.
Yeah.
That just breaks that block.
Because I project she loves it.
She
right?
loves it.
So you
it.
Say, hey, yeah. do you have a minute? Can we pause from painting? Because I'm stuck. And
yes.
I project the mentors over there going, absolutely. There's
absolutely.
Nothing I'd like better than. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can use those recordings when I'm in a place of a kind of I'd call it, kind of a funk or a fugue, where you're just sort of this sort of gray, but you're looking for that kind of, you just need a little nudge to get over that speed bump. Mm-hmm. I'll listen to the recording about what it's like to paint, and it's like, oh my gosh, I want to do that.
Well, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Who
wouldn't want to do
they're
that?
Listen to them. They're having so much fun.
Yeah.
Carolyn, I'm convinced that as soon as recording and listening just catches on everywhere, imagine when technology gets behind it.
Oh.
Think if you had a whole sound studio where you could do, like, the voices simultaneously, and then you could insert the hat, I mean,
yeah.
so much fun with it.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Oh, I love it, Carolyn. Thank you so much for being with us this afternoon to talk about it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Jen. It's just, it's just been fun.
It has been fun. And I was just remarking, I think at the end of that workshop, we were talking about the sky's the limit with this tool. And then, the next Sunday workshop was just absolutely exquisite as well,
oh.
right? I mean, just...
Oh. So, I have to tell
we'll
you, Jen.
Yes,
oh,
please,
is someone
please
else going to talk about that one?
No, you go.
I just have to say, I have had the most fun. I have been an on-location reporter. I have been interviewing everyone in my house.
And by everyone,
yes.
I project you mean the fork and the spoon and the...
Yes, it has been. Yeah. It's like, it's like, well, who are we going to talk to today? Because it's that same thing, right? It's that
it is.
We're meeting ourselves
yeah.
wholly.
Yes. We're meeting ourselves wholly in
yeah.
everything we encounter. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
We need another 20 minutes or so here. But that's
the fun part.
It's just, now yeah. that we've got these tools, we're all going to be exploring them, and we'll all be calling into radio shows and talking about them, and, just build
yes.
from there. So only
yeah.
the beginning.
That's the magic of sharing in right. Sangha like this. It's, everybody benefits, yeah.
That's right, yeah. Well, and thank you to you for being willing to be here this afternoon to speak about your experience.
Thank you, Jen.
Thanks, Carolyn.
Take care. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Carolyn. Okay, there's Jen.
And there's Sherry.
Good afternoon, Sherry. How are you?
Good afternoon, Michael. I'm great. And yourself?
Wonderful. A little warm and wonderful.
Oh, good. Yes, it's a little toasty where we are, too. yeah, a little bit. But I spent the last 3 days putting in a little cooler for myself.
Oh, wow.
And so I actually, this is the first summer that I, in a long time, that I haven't been not enjoying the weather as much as I could be. I'm now enjoying it tremendously. So,
Good.
Get those fans out.
Yes, yes. I've been thinking about a little assistance with the heat. And,
yeah.
That's great.
Beyond wetting your shirt, right? Getting your shirt.
Yes.
Wasn't that a fun conversation? I tell you, I'm not a painter, but I kind of wanted to paint. I think, though, that what I learned from the workshop is we can apply that to anything. But I love the let's do it with things that we love.
Yes.
Because that's, yeah.
Yes.
From the point that I think Carolyn and Jen were making, that, you know, it's great to have assistance and support for something that you really struggle with. But how happy can you be? You know, how over the top can this joy thing get when you have help and support and love and assistance and companionship with something you love?
Yes.
So
yes.
It just takes care of every minute of life. Having a bad time? Here's what we've got. Having a great time? Here's what we've got.
Yes. Yes. And what I just saw when you said that is as you say, it takes it out of the conditional. If I'm feeling good or I'm feeling bad, but that's my practice. I do it all the time.
Yeah, and it really does get us past something that ego really uses with people. Again, it was alluded to. Well, you don't need to do this now. You're happy. I mean, you don't need to practice. You feel good. And so if we realize, wait a minute, on what occasion in my life do I not want love? what would I be doing?
Right.
I'm so happy I don't want love. I'm having such a good time I don't want love. And then we realize, oh, I'm being snookered there. That's not true.
Yes. Yeah. I'm being bamboozled.
I'm being bamboozled. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Michael, I have to ask you because I haven't had a chance to check in with you for a while. How are your birds?
Well, my birds, I'm not sure what happened, and I think our little baby birds did not make it. I didn't see the mom for most of one day, which was very unusual given the regularity of her attention to them. So I don't know if she got distracted or what. And then she came back later, and I've seen her as recently as a week ago wanting to mother, and there's no chicks there, unfortunately. So I don't know what happens.
There's time and nice weather. She can try again.
Yes. Yes. Let's hope.
All right.
Yes.
Well, shoot. All right.
Yep. 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 And I do have announcements for today.
Okay.
Join us for a workshop this Sunday, May 31st, as we practice directing attention and expanding awareness to be here for the moment as it arises. The workshop is free of charge. Please register by 12 noon Pacific time this Friday.
Mm-hmm. Donations always gratefully received.
Donations always gratefully received. Supporting that which supports us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we cannot usually see the process we're in when we're in it, so having a mirror is of great assistance. If you are in need of clarity around some challenging content in your life, an upcoming Socratic email class with Sherry is just the thing. Participants will choose their focus for the class and will have 6 interactions with Sherry. The class begins June 8th.
I'm very excited. I love Socratic email classes.
Yes, very fun, very fun. Fun to choose our own topic to explore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, Ashwini and I talked about that. Should we just do a regular class, just, pick a topic and do a regular class? And what we got to is this is such an odd time. It would be hard to come up with something that would really have much of a chance of speaking to everybody. Right?
Yes.
But we each know what we're what we're looking at individually. So we went with Socratic.
Lovely. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
In stressful times, we can turn to practice for support. And one of the most compassionate tools we have is recording and listening. A new 6-week conference call retreat in recording and listening will teach 6 key skills of the recording and listening practice. The new class is on Thursdays starting June 18th. Yes, and for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And Sherry, I was just realizing again as I read that last one that we have incredible virtual offerings, and we've had them for years.
Yeah.
And we need them now.
Yes. Yeah. Michael, yes. I reflect on that so often. It to me, it is just one of the clearest messages that we are so cared for. That
yes,
we're always if we'll say yes to life, what we need is always in place for us.
Yes, yes, yeah, and it's great because as you've said many times, when each new technology appears, we've gotten on board and see how, you know, it supports practice and we can deliver practice through it, and it's just fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Really is. It really is. And it's fun.
Yes.
It's fun, and it has that aspect of we say yes to life. You know, when tweets first came out, you know, it was...
Yes.
Such a strange thing. and then, you know, we got into it and worked out the kinks and then there it is. And then of course it expands and develops into what it's become. But we were already in place with that. And it makes it really happy.
Yes. Yes. Beautiful. And a few reminders for today. If you'd like to talk with Sherry, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And conversation on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes is great. Okay, you ready, Sherry?
I'm ready. Thank you, Michael.
Okay, sure. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna from Home First in England.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. Hello, I'm very good.
Good, what's going on?
I'm on a holiday break, so I thought I would ring in and say hi.
Are you back to work?
I've been working. I'm still working from home, but we're on an actual break. I know.
Oh, right.
It's strange.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's really weird.
I've recognized that here, that so many people who are working from home. We just had a holiday on Monday.
Yeah.
And you know, people take a holiday. And it's like... Huh, and especially for those of us who are staying home, but it is different. You know, you're not working. So even though if you're in the same location, still different. So good.
So, I just thought I'd ring in. I really enjoyed... In the middle of the night. These long summer nights. Are easy. I have been asleep and I set my alarm, but it doesn't quite feel like the dead of night as it does in the winter.
Then it feels like the dead of night at 7 p.m., right?
Yeah.
Like, how long is this night going to go on?
I really liked the article that you just wrote for the monastery newsletter, from the guide article about, I'm just trying to remember everything now, about...
You'll have to help me out because it's a vague memory.
Yeah, I'll get there. It was from an email class and somebody...
Oh,
and,
right, being the right person.
Was being the right person, yeah. And you had said that you just don't have that karma. And so I just thought that was really interesting because it is what I'm looking at. It's similar. I don't know whether it's exactly the same as being the right person, but I think it is. So the karma that I've been working on and for all this month in the year-long retreat, and it comes up all the time, and it's about being worthy, which I think is a similar thing. Being the right person, being worthy, and I just found that really helpful that someone else doesn't have that. I know that you always say this, and so I know that it's true, but it's just always getting things on deeper levels anyway, isn't it? So I just found that interesting because that's what I'm working towards, you know, is being somebody without that karma.
right. Well, and what it ties in for me in the year-long retreat is the enough.
Yeah.
You know, are you enough?
Yeah.
Are you worthy? It's really kind of the same thing. And so, yeah, what if that weren't an issue? And, of course, I bet that this is kind of the case that because it would be fun just to practice that for, say, a week. Oh, I'm worthy. You know, I'm worthy. And then, of course, we start hitting where that's locked into the body, right? What the beliefs are, that unexamined beliefs and assumptions that hold that in place. You know, I think we'd run into that very, very quickly if you just said, oh, I am worthy. I am worthy. And you just went around with that orientation. What might that be like? You know, you could kind of do what you chose and feel good about what you do and receive.
Yeah.
Now that we're on receiving, right? You could receive what's there because of course you're worthy. Of course. So why would there ever be a question about just receiving everything?
Yeah, it's really amazing because my thing was about receiving. I really liked the Alan Watts quote from the original write-up about jewel eyes and musical ears and arabesque brains, that's how I've got it remembered, about receiving this human life form and not being, it's not, this sounds like it's really bad and it's not because I've come a long, long way, you know, but not being worthy to have this life, to have the life I want or to have a good life.
Right. Even though you do have the life you want.
Yeah.
Right? And even though you're a really good person, right, all of the pieces are in place, but it's, can we really take it in? And that's where we hit that level, right, of unworthiness. It's like I can have 80%, but that 20% still gets held back because, well, but, you know, you don't want to get crazy here.
Yeah,
and what if you do want to get crazy?
Yeah,
have 110% or 120% because I suspect, of course, that life is ready to offer you any amount you want.
Oh, that's a good thought. That's wonderful.
Because because the unworthiness is what's keeping that from happening, right? So, so you know, we have a little idea about whatever it is, and then right behind it is, well, yeah, but you can't. I mean, that's
Yeah.
Yeah. And so yeah. If you weren't going with that, if you just went with, well, you know, I thought of it, so it must be something life is offering me, or I wouldn't have thought of it. So what if we just go with that? And then you just watch ego just scrambling around trying to shut you down.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can definitely say I'm definitely onto it. Definitely.
Yeah.
And the
conversation that Jen and Carolyn just had from that workshop, right? So to make some recordings with her in these situations, you know, what would it be like if we just relaxed into receiving and went for 100%? Let's do that.
I have been since I've been working at home, I've been the relationship with the recorder and with the inner mentor is just constant, and it really helps. It really works. I just couldn't be without it. So
And so that mentor is perfectly capable of reminding you that you are you are not in that creepy, I don't know about where you live, but in this country, deserve has turned into this really creepy, you know, you deserve to dye your hair, and you deserve to, you know, whatever it is that somebody's trying to sell you, you should have it because you deserve it.
Oh, yes, right, yeah.
Yeah, it's not, no, it's no, not no. that. It's that, I don't even know what the word is that would speak to that, but just that sense that if it's in your life, it's because life wants it for you.
Yes.
And we don't have to earn it. We don't have to deserve it, or it doesn't have to be justified, or it's just, it occurred to you. It came into your sphere. Therefore, here's the gift.
Yes.
Does that all hang together?
It totally does. I think that the year long really worked with that newsletter that you wrote, and it's all hangs together. I love it. It's wonderful. Thank you.
And we have so much time to practice now, right? As you say, you know, we've got the recorder right there. I'm working. And I've got the recorder right there, and I don't have to sneak off from anybody when I want to have a conversation with the mentor.
I know. It's great. I've got my meditation cushion next to my desk.
I love it. We are empowered. We are free.
Empowered. We're free. Yes.
All right. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you. And thank you for everything.
Good night.
To everyone for everything. And good night, Michael.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. And Sherry, a lot dropped in during that conversation. First, that this well-being is our birthright.
Yeah.
And as you said, the deserving or the worthy or the unworthy is kind of not relevant to that.
It's horse pucky. I think I say this with great regularity just because I love it so much. But it's the smile, God loves you.
Hmm.
If I mean, why? You know, it's the what is the one that's in everybody's garden? You know, something about the same kind of a feeling. Of that, and so instead of just thinking that that's something that goes on kitsch or whatever, that to really take that in, that our true nature is happiness. It's not suffering. The suffering of life is added on. Our authentic nature is happiness, and we can, in that conversation that we just had, we can feel how there is that happiness, and then that layer, like a heavy blanket of no on top of that, And through that, we're trying to interact with life. And it's just, it's unnecessary. Not that it's not, you know, a fair slog to get through it. Fortunately, it's a happy slog, right?
Yes.
I mean, it takes something to get through it. But for me, just that realization that our authentic nature is happy.
Yes.
When we stop doing everything else, happy is what's there. And so that's what practice is stopping ourselves from allowing that negativity to cut us off from the happiness that we are.
Yes. Yes. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna from San Carlos.
Hey,
Anna. Hello, Anna.
Hello.
What are you seeing? What's going on?
I'm so excited. So I haven't been able to join one of the radio shows in a long time.
I know.
It's the time. It's all lining up. My kids are out of the house. I just had time, and I'm just dreaming, and it's just such a rush. I'm so excited.
Well, it's good to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Catch us up.
It has been quite the year. My mother passed away right before, my stepfather passed away, and then we were dealing with end-of-life stuff with my mom, and then she passed away, and then the pandemic started. So,
yeah.
I have two young children.
Well,
so
and then you had a baby, right? You had another baby.
And then
the pandemic hit.
Yeah, yeah. So the baby, his birthday was during the pandemic. So it's just been a year. And and I'm finally getting to the place where, I'm listening to the radio show in the morning regularly and the recordings of this radio show and just kind of like signed up for the yoga and just finally getting a little bit of time to practice. And it's just feels so good.
Like coming
to do
home.
That. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, it's been so hard, and I feel so grateful that I've been practicing for so long, and also that, there's this place to come back to.
You know, you had no idea before before your life took this turn, you had no idea that practice that you were doing was going to be such an essential foundation for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like I had some idea, but I did not realize, how essential it would be to process what's going on.
Yeah.
Because it's not even that I have, I don't even know. You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, it everything just gets incredibly busy, and the demands are so coming so fast and furious that the tendency to lose ourselves is really strong. You get up in the morning and then you fall into bed at night and go, what happened there? What was that day? And yet, the awareness of that is there for you. I mean,
it is.
You know what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, and
it makes a huge difference.
And there's a way to practice with it, because there's been a lot of suffering, and then, as soon as I have time, there's awareness of this is the conversation, and there's some ability to practice with that so that I can just be with whatever it is that life is presenting with me right now. And
that sentence right there is the whole deal, right?
Yeah.
That there's an awareness that's available to you that this is what's happening right now, and I can be with that.
Right. And that's
it may not
be
pretty.
Right.
It might be
yeah.
elegant, but you can be with it.
Yep. Yep. And even if it's like a difficult life situation,
yep.
You know, I was just walking the other day, listening to a radio show and, from the morning, and it was just like this realization of like, this is the perfect life situation for me to learn whatever it is that is, that there is to learn in this life, in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just,
that's right.
Like, yeah. You know, it's like,
for each one of us, I mean, I'm hoping everybody doesn't just think, oh, how nice for Anna. How nice for her. Right. Because that is a truth for every one of us. And as we were talking about just a minute ago, the sadness is that people are talked into believing that what's happening to me is wrong. It's a mistake. It should be different. I should be different. I need to be different. And if I were different, then all of these things would be different. And the reality is, no, that's not it. That's not where we're going with this. It is, just as you said, these are the circumstances of my life. I get to choose how I want to be in these circumstances. That's where we're headed. I can choose love, acceptance, peace, joy, equanimity, and I can practice getting to that. Or I can stay stuck in a conversation about how this is really wrong and a big mistake and proof that there's something wrong with me and suffer. In the first one, you're not suffering. You're practicing, you're learning, you're growing, you're changing, and you can see and you can feel that. In the second one, it's just miserable.
Yeah, and it's, And it's like, however ugly it gets, it's still true, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And kind of comes down to as simple as, and I love her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm on her side. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really grateful because it is really hard. It has been really hard, and you know, I'm in some ways coming out of it, but it's like, it's a miracle to be able to accept the thing that has been coming up so much is just like, I've heard you say a lot of just like, who said life's supposed to be easy? Where did we get that idea from? And, and it's kind of pointing to exactly what you're saying. It's like, if we just, we're drifting along, you know, and everything was just easy, that would be one life circumstance. But there's so many different, you know, lesson or whatever ways to work through the karma that we need these different. I mean, I feel like I wouldn't be able to see whatever it is I'm able to see right now if I hadn't have been in the life circumstance that I'm in, which involves difficulty.
Yes.
Pain and suffering and all of it. So I feel really grateful that there is just a place to process all this, you know, just to process all the stuff.
Well, and that you're not alone. You know, you're not alone.
Yeah.
And I don't just mean you have practice and you have Sangha. You have tools. You know, you have that recorder. You have access to support and information, and it just takes our life circumstances and makes them part of that growth process in a way that so many people don't have. Can you imagine if you didn't know any of what it is that you know? I mean, you'd be in hell.
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably be, I don't even know. But I'm glad that I'm not in that circumstance. I'm glad I'm not in that circumstance because it's as difficult with all these tools. I mean, it's not an easy situation.
It's where I get to 3 months of a colicky baby who, I swear to God, never slept five straight minutes in a row, and I said, I will never judge anybody with anything that happens with a parent and a child, never. Mm-hmm. Because I realized if one screw was just a little looser than it is, it would have been awful.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you saying that
hard.
To me with my first, because he was like that too. Because it's such an interesting thing, this experience, because it's like, for me, it's like, I don't think I can do this, but then the day goes by and I just did it.
Exactly.
Like, and then the days go by. And
exactly. Exactly. And it's classic Sister Phil, right? You can't do that. And she starts doing it. You can't do that. And she's doing it. You can't do that. And she did it. Right. And,
yeah.
And at that point we realize, that listening to that voice is
not helpful
because it doesn't have good information. And so to get to the end of the day and be able to pick up that recorder and just say, I did it. I did it. And if you have the strength, then you record a few of the highlights.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, it's great
to get
to talk
with you. Thank
you,
Sherry. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, everyone. I'm really grateful.
You take care of yourself.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You too.
And I know you will. All right.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Go happy.
I'm glad I got on. It's a fun.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah. It's great to talk with you. Okay.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Thanks, Sherry. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. And those kinds of conversations always inspire me, Sherry. The courage and the willingness and the persistence.
Mm.
It's fabulous.
Mm, mm, mm. It really is. And it's how we each prove to ourselves that, I can do this. What this person is not what the voice in the head says.
Yes.
And we prove that to ourselves over and over and over until finally it's just undeniable.
mm-hmm. Yeah, just like Anna described it. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do this. Oh, I just did that.
I just did it. I just made it through an entire day that the voices were saying I could not survive.
Yes.
And in fact, with each one of us, how many of those days have we been through? Truly, at what point are we going to stop listening to a voice that says you can't?
Mm.
Of course I can.
Yes. Yes. Fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Sherry, we're going to hear from our reflective listening program, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Michael.
Okay. Thank you.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. RL is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, we can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, I want to remind folks also that the Practice Recorder app for the iPhone exists, and it's great for recording and listening. And
it sure
folks can find it in the iPhone's App Store. And again, that's great. Called Practice Recorder.
All right. Good reminder. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Beth in Pittsburgh.
Hello, Beth. What's going on?
Hot. Hot,
it's
hot,
hot. Hot?
Yeah, well, 8
Shall
days
come
ago, it was 21 degrees. So our bodies have
to come back there and put in a cooler for you?
I'm working on it. I'm using the brain as a tool instead of living in the tool shed.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But there's something that I've been wanting to ask you for a little while that I've been working on, and I have to tell you, it ties me up in knots.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Can I use a little content for a description?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. I was raised as a missionary child and really believing in...
You were raised what?
As a missionary child. So I have really deep spirit, Christian roots. That is all about believing. You have to believe enough. My sin is that I don't believe.
Mm.
I've got a lot of people telling me things that they really want me to believe about our political climate and what's really going on. Like, I don't know if I believe there's a virus.
You personally, Beth?
Yeah.
You don't believe?
Yeah. See, we could talk for the next 20 hours, so I'm going to put that aside. It's the process of that. I don't know. I don't know if Trump is really the good guy who wasn't supposed to be elected and getting all the bad press. You know, the core that's tying me up in knots is, and I just saw something about it, is the believer.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to tell people that I don't believe like you because you won't like me.
That's important to you that you. I mean, do you still believe all of that? Do you believe that you have to believe what somebody believes in order to be in relationship with them, or in order to have them like you? Or
I haven't seen my mom in 13 years because I don't believe that Jesus Christ is my personal savior.
Uh-huh. You know, there are a lot of people who don't believe that.
Yeah, and they're actually kind of good people, too.
I would be one of those people.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of, I've just been saying I don't know to all of it. I don't know what's going on.
Now, we're back to, you don't know what's going on in the world. You don't know whether...
Yeah, I really don't.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
There are reports to say every single angle with studies and for all this stuff. And, you know, if I believe the right way, we might save the planet.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, I'm not a big fan of believing.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of believing, so it's hard for me kind of to catch up with you on this because I didn't start out thinking believing was a good idea, and so I didn't have to.
Yeah, can you tell me more about that?
Yeah. Well, believing is what we do rather than be present. So my teacher's way of talking about it, he would just say, why would you want to believe in God when you can experience God? Because believing is just dragging around some dead thing. What's the
point?
Is
it a mental thing?
Believing?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. You have to go up inside your head, and you have to go over a lot of things. The main part of it is, of course, there's this great thing from Alice in Wonderland. You know that? Do you know the one about believing? And whichever queen it is says, you know, oh, you're not trying hard enough. I've sometimes believed X number of things that aren't true before breakfast.
Ha.
Right? we have to work really hard to try to believe things that aren't true. So why would you want to work that hard? If they're true, they're true. And what difference does it make? What is that gonna get anybody? You know, okay, so I believe what I believe, and you believe what you. I work really hard not to believe anything, but I mean, say you're somebody who wants to believe something, you know, you believe what? Where? How are you ever gonna know if it's true? Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
The mind
it's
is
all
just
made up, Beth.
Yeah.
It's just all made up, and you know it is. And you know what? People who desperately want other people to believe what they believe also know that it's all made up. If they didn't know that, they wouldn't be working so hard to try to get people to believe it. There. I shouldn't have said that probably, but there you go.
So I don't know.
Yeah. No, nobody knows. Nobody knows anything. That much we know. We know nobody knows anything.
The world is not static for us to kind of, I mean, it's like it's a moving thing. And
well,
yeah,
and,
I mean,
and even if you figured out something and you could guarantee that, yes, Jesus Christ actually lived. Okay. All right. Good. All right, so Jesus lived, and Jesus, what? You know, he never said, as far as we know, he didn't say about 90% of the stuff that people credit him with.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, it's fine, but people can do whatever it is that they want to do, and we want them to do whatever it is that they want to do. But you certainly don't have to put yourself in a twist trying to get yourself to believe something that you just, you know, don't believe.
So if I'm in a twist, I'm in my head.
Of course. You know, one of the things I talk about a lot,
of course.
Is the space between the thoughts. And that's why I talk about it so much. Because that's where we want to live. In the space between the thoughts. Now, what's going on there? Not much.
Nothing. Yeah.
Except it's a not much that just happens to be everything.
Oh, I don't have that.
Well, not if you're busy trying to believe stuff that you don't believe, then no.
For me, the nothing is an abyss.
Well, you call it an abyss because you haven't explored it. If you thought of it as everything, it wouldn't appear to be an abyss.
Yeah.
But in exploring it, you know, it's like have you ever been to Alaska?
Only in my imagination.
Yeah. So when you go there, if you take your beliefs and your imagination and you're convinced that you know what Alaska is, you know, you've got this mental picture of it and all these beliefs about it, and then that's what you're going to experience. But is that really Alaska? No, that's just you experiencing your own conditioned mind. And that would be okay, except as you've noticed, it makes people really unhappy.
Yeah.
People's conditioned minds make them really unhappy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
why do that? Yeah. Why do that? You know, I figure, first of all, you know, I figure Jesus doesn't have anything against me. And so, you know, when I check out of this hotel, then, you know, if it turns out that all of that is true, I think there's not going to be a problem. Because I don't, there's not a single bone in my body that is going to believe that somebody like Jesus is going to be in such a twist about how people feel about him that he's going to be throwing people into hell because they don't. Oh, come on, Beth.
Okay, so the next belief is control. Believing something is trying to get control.
Who? What? Besides conditioned mind.
I mean, it's like, there was like, okay, you can't put God in the pocket. Jesus, you can't control Jesus.
You can't control anything.
So when you're praying, it's not about controlling anything. But that's what a lot of people do.
I'm in the group that says the only prayer that we need to worry about is thank you. Just say thank you. If the God that you believe in
put the tools away and shut the door
is worth its salt, then that God doesn't need to be told what you want and need. So you're going to get what you want and need, just what Anna was talking about. You're going to get what you want and need. And then you just say thank you and do your part, which is accepting it and getting on with it.
Yes. At center, there's room for everything. There's nothing excluded.
That is exactly so. Everything is included because everything is. We can see that because we've noticed that everything is.
And well, we're left with
that's our big clue. That's our big clue. Yeah. So if we get out of our heads, and we get into the heart.
I'm working on it.
And we start saying thank you, and we practice living in thank you. Things get a lot easier.
Thank you, Sharon.
Okay. You are so welcome. Anytime. Take care of yourself.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. And, Sherry, we have time for one more caller, so I'm going to bring that caller on.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, Michael, and Sangha, it's Jeff in North Carolina.
Hey, Jeff.
Hello, Jeff. What's going on?
Well, I would like to bring up something with you. So over the winter holidays, this thing come up, which has come up before, but it came up this time. Just back up a little bit. One of the things I enjoy a lot with people who call me is just kind of, assisting them on their spiritual journey or talking about what's going on with them, that sort of thing. And I've done some things like, so at my school, I've offered kind of introduction to meditation for parents as part of our auction, or I've led or co-led some meditation retreats and that sort of thing. And I've really enjoyed doing those things. And then so over the winter holidays, this idea came about wanting to do that as what I do for a living, do kind of spiritual stuff for a living. And I don't even know if that would be possible for me, whether I could even do that. But also there's a lot of, you know, kind of like, well, how could I even think about doing that anyway? I'm not Sherry Huber. And so that's just kind of the basis of that conversation. And because it's been in my head, and I wanted to just bring it out and get your whatever guidance around that.
And so why do you want to do that?
It's a great question. I would say that there's been that desire for a long time. And I'm not saying that it's a good idea or that I'm ready to do it. But there's been that desire to be of assistance to people in, you know, leading workshops and retreats or all of that sort of thing.
And so I'm guessing the assumption there is that it would be of assistance.
Mm. Yeah, thank you for that. That's why I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah. Because it's funny, I'm probably the only person I know never wanted to do this for a living. And I've always laughed because any number of people over the years have said that their life ambition is to be a Zen teacher, and I just think, oh, okay, I wish I wanted to be one. And so I find that interesting. I've talked to so many people over the years who had as their great desire to have a retreat center.
Mm.
And then they have one. And then their great desire is not to have one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I think, my strongest encouragement would be to get really clear about what you want out of this. Because doing awareness practice is very different from guiding awareness practice.
Mm.
And one of the things that a person really has to be prepared for, I think, is to be willing to accept the karma of it.
Mm.
Because
can you say more
about
that?
Karma. Yeah. I mean, you're not that I believe there is any such thing, but just the language is helpful. You're messing around with people's immortal soul.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of, this is another one of those where they say anybody who wants to be president ought to be disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
Because, it's not the kind of thing a person should want to do. The responsibility should be so overwhelming that it would be the case of only if I absolutely have to, only if I can't get out of it. But if I can get out of it, I would really like to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is good. I'm really glad I brought it up. It certainly, ego did not want me to bring it up. I wondered if this sort of would be the response, and I'm just really glad to get it because it's really, it's very clear.
I think it's one of those kinds of things that, and there are a lot of lots of things in this category in life. Where the attitude is, well, I would be willing to do that, and so if that path is where I'm headed, I'm willing to say yes, but I'm not in any hurry.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You've heard me say this a lot, I'm sure, that my request always has been not to awaken before I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
because that puts us in a dangerous position to be dangerous. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to look very far to see how that's the case. One of the things that I'm most fascinated with in this line of work that I'm in is how little people are able to discern what is good information and what isn't good information. That there's so much stuff that sounds like it's coming from something that we would call center, but if you look into it a little closer, you realize I don't think that really is.
Mm-hmm.
And people can't tell the difference.
Right. And are you making the connection between that and the thing that you just said about kind of awakening before I'm ready? And then,
so then
we go off when we do things and we think it's coming from a good place.
That's right.
And do a lot of harm in the process.
That's exactly it. And, of course, one of the things that people want to do, and I'm certainly not suggesting that this is your motivation at all. But, you know, there's a lot of money in this line of work if a person wants to go in that direction. And the reason that it's so easy to do is that people can't tell the difference. Mm-hmm. If somebody, I was going to make a little joke about what Beth was just talking about, but if somebody's a good enough huckster and they've got the lingo and they lack the moral or ethical interest, then, you know, it's lucrative.
Wow. Yeah, I would have thought the opposite, but I suppose that's...
That's because you're used to our practice. Well, you know, I ran into somebody, I don't know, maybe they're still in business. I have no idea. Charged $10,000 a day.
Wow.
As a Zen master. Worked with business leaders. Yeah. People can't tell. Somebody calls themselves a Zen master. People can't tell. Are they? Aren't they? I don't know. How would you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this is really helpful. Thank you very much, because it puts me a lot more at ease, because this is, you know, this has been coming up, but again, where is it coming from? And just really, it's like, well, how would that work really anyway with where I am in my practice and all of that sort of thing? So, but I just really felt like I needed to bring it up, and I'm really glad I did.
Yeah. It's good. It's good to bring these things up. And it's not for me to say whether a person should or shouldn't or anything else, but it is, I think, helpful to be reminded that we want to be very cautious in our discerning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then what I'm hearing you say is about this kind of thing in particular, that, you know, I mean, about everything, but you know, about the idea of guiding people in a spiritual practice.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty big.
It's pretty big.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Well, you are very welcome. Take good care of yourself.
Okay, will do. Good night.
All right.
Good night, Michael.
Thanks, Jeff. Good night.
Good night,
thank
Jeff.
Thank you.
And we have come to the end of the show, Sherry.
Well, son of a gun. How does that happen?
Son of a gun. Yes. Well, we have such a fascinating sangha, and they have such interesting conversations. And I'm blessed to be a part of all that, and I'm grateful for all of it.
Me too. Me too, Michael. I appreciate it so much.
Me too.
All right. Yep. Well, enjoy the rest of your evening.
All right, you too, and go happy.
Thanks. You too. Thanks, Michael.
Good
night.
Good night.